Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, January 11th, 2016. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, Jeff Smith from The Learning Connection will be here to highlight upcoming classes. We'll talk with Sonia Tucker about Tai Chi classes for seniors, and UAF Cooperative Extension Agent Darren Snyder will tell us about the Master Gardeners class. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon. Currently 38 degrees at the Douglas Boat Harbor, 40 in Hoonah, and 37 in Gustavus.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native Americans are among those asking for a thorough review of a Wisconsin city's precedent-setting plan to take drinking water from Lake Michigan. Chuck Kornbach of Wisconsin Public Radio reports.
Waukesha, just west of Milwaukee, wants to become the first city outside the Great Lakes Basin to use Great Lakes water for drinking under an exception spelled out in a multi-state compact okayed 8 years ago. Frank Etowah-Gishik of the United Tribes of Michigan helped negotiate that agreement. He says there are 185 tribes and First Nations in the states and provinces surrounding the lakes with a common belief in protecting nature. Etowah-Gishik says he's seen other natural resources suffer severe harm.
At one point in the Great Lakes, we viewed the white pine as a limitless resource of wood. It lasted barely two generations before we had essentially wiped it out. The white pine of this century is water.
Etowah-Gishik says many tribes don't have enough money for a lengthy review to make sure Waukesha doesn't have a good alternative source of drinking water. So he joined environmental groups last week in urging a governmental panel, the Great Lakes Compact Council, to budget enough for an in-depth and independent analysis. The council has approved spending $260,000 and will hold a public hearing next month. Waukesha officials say they welcome a detailed review. Water utility general manager Dan Dukniak says existing city wells are contaminated with radium and other pollutants.
Our groundwater quality is getting worse. We are under a court order to comply with the radium standard by 2018.
Dukniak says Waukesha would pipe treated wastewater back to Lake Michigan. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
Two Native American college students are among those invited to attend President Obama's State of the Union address this week in Washington, D.C. Lydia Doza, a college student and STEM advocate, received an invitation to sit in First Lady Michelle Obama's box during the speech. The Anupiaq, Tsimshian, and Haida woman has been involved in the Obama administration's Generation Indigenous Initiative. The 24-year-old is pursuing a software engineering degree at Oregon Tech. Navajo College student Carielle Bahi was invited to the address by New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich. Bahi is studying secondary education at the University of New Mexico. The 21-year-old plans to return to her hometown of Crown Point on the Navajo Reservation to teach high school English. Obama will deliver his last State of the Union address Tuesday night. The U.S. Departments of Housing and Urban Development and Veterans Affairs are working to assist homeless veterans living on or near tribal lands. The Secretary of Housing and Urban Development made the announcement last week. KCMP's Brian Brazier has more.
Speaking to the Intertribal Council of the Five Civilized Tribes of Oklahoma, HUD Secretary Julian Castro announced an expansion to HUD's Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Program known as HUDVASH. 500 Native American veterans in 26 tribal governments across 12 states will receive a total of just under $6 million to secure adequate housing.
Extending the benefits of HUDVASH to more Native American veterans is one way that we build a more inclusive nation. Listening to and learning from Native American leaders is another. And together, I'm convinced that we'll create a more prosperous future for Native families here in Oklahoma and across the United States. And in doing that, we will create a stronger 21st century for all Americans.
Secretary Castro also announced that his staff is conducting the most in-depth national housing survey on Native lands ever done. For National Native News, I'm Brian Brazier.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Gathering of Nations to the Wise Pies Arena, a.k.a. The Pit, April 29th and 30th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org. Kawanic Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kawanic's news program. Learn more at knba.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a June afternoon here on Monday, January 11th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Jeff Smith. He's the program coordinator for adult education at the Learning Center and CIRC. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Jeff, for those of us that may not know, tell us a little bit about what CIRC and the Learning Connection is.
So CIRC is a nonprofit, and the Learning Connection is a completely free service for the community. And we offer a variety of different things. I think a lot of people think of the Learning Connection as the place where you can go and get your GED, but it's really so much more than that. There's a lot of programs. There is adult basic education in math and reading and any subject that you're looking to get tutored in. There's English as a second language. And then there's a variety of different programs like JobX, which will help 16 to 24-year-olds in reaching their GED and also getting some job placement and experience. And then programs for mature Alaskans, the MAST program, Mature Alaskans Seeking Skills Training, a similar program where it'll find work experience for older Alaskans and computer classes. So there's a variety of different services that we offer in the Learning Connection.
Sounds like there's just about something for anybody, teenager and up.
Yeah.
Where is your physical location here in Juneau?
We are located at 210 Ferry Way. It's a downtown across from Marine Park.
Okay. So let's see. You were telling me you have kind of an open house thing tomorrow night. Is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow night we're having an adult education information session. It's from 5:30 to 7, and it's at the Learning Connection downtown. And it'll be an opportunity for us to share our new schedule of classes. And there is going to be a raffle. We're going to actually raffle off a Kindle and some other prizes, and you get a raffle ticket just for attending. And we also ask that you invite some friends, and if you bring some friends, you could actually get some extra raffle tickets for yourself.
That sounds great. If folks can't make it to that open house tomorrow, can you outline some of the classes you have coming up for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have some math classes. We have math ranging from people at beginning skill levels all the way up to college prep math. And those are going to be starting on Thursday. The college prep math especially is a new offering, and it's great for those that are maybe going to get placed in remedial math for college because it can be a free option for you to boost your AccuPlacer score so that you don't have to pay for remedial math and you can get into your base-level college classes.
So this sounds like a great opportunity maybe for someone who's thinking about starting up next fall at a university somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And UAS and Clinkett and Haida will also be at the event tomorrow. So for those interested in other options throughout the community, there will be representatives as well.
All right. What else?
We also have computer classes that change monthly. This month we have an intermediate Microsoft Word program and an introduction to Microsoft Excel. We also have basic writing skills classes. We have English as a second language classes as well. We also have a program over at Gruning Park and a Learning Connection over there offering math and ESL and U.S. citizenship classes. And a new program that we're going to have at the Valley Library for those out in the Valley. It's for an evening ESL class, which is going to be on Wednesday nights, 5:30 to 7, starting on January 19th.
Tell us a little bit more about the Gruning Park program.
Yeah, the Gruning Park program is run by Brad Bauer, and it's a family program. So in the morning time, there's classes for adults, math class, GED tutoring, U.S. citizenship, and ESL. And then there's also a homework club from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. every day, and the kids really enjoy it. I was just there on Thursday, and I think there was about 17 kids there, and kids doing their homework, kids on the computer, really taking advantage of that resource.
Excellent. Who teaches these classes? Do you have volunteers, paid teachers? Tell us a little bit about that organization.
Yeah, it's sort of a combination. We have paid staff at the Learning Connection, and we have some volunteers. For example, the library ESL offering is a volunteer. So we'll get volunteers through the door quite often, and we try to find a role for them in any way that we can.
And do you need more?
Yeah, we're always looking for more. There's always people who could be better off in a one-on-one tutoring situation rather than in a small group or a class setting. So we're always looking for volunteers and a way to match people to best fit their needs.
Okay. If somebody wanted to learn more about these classes and the times, what's the best website or place to go?
Yeah, a great place to go is to our website, the CERC website. It's www.cerc.org/TLC. Or just drop in at the Learning Connection and speak to one of our staff.
What are your hours?
Our hours are 9 to 12 and 1 to 4:30.
And which days are those?
And that's Monday through Thursday. And on Friday, we're open from 9 to noon.
Okay. Jeff, you're an educator, I know. What do you like most about working with adults?
I think working with adults is great because they're so eager for your help. They come in and they're just looking for a chance to better their lives, and you're there to try to help them through that process. And people come in with real struggles and really just want to improve, and you're there to kind of set them on that path. And they're just so thankful when you're there to help them.
Okay. And who might be an example of someone who you've seen benefit the most from your guest program?
So I have an example of someone recently who came in, and he was looking to get his GED. His name's Kyle, and we got him enrolled, and we also found out he was also interested in construction, and we have a program called the Juno Construction Academy. So he worked with us. He worked with Juno Construction Academy, and he got his GED, and now he's enrolled in the Juno Construction Academy, taking a class through UAS, and he's on his way to working to become a welder and get in the union. So he came in just looking for a GED, found out we had some more resources available to him, and he's really taking advantage of it.
That's great. That's great. And to learn more about this, tell us again about tomorrow night.
Yeah, so tomorrow night from 5:30 to 7 o'clock at the Learning Connection, 210 Ferry Way, you'll have an adult education information session with a raffle with an opportunity to win a Kindle, some free food and refreshments. So come join us tomorrow night.
All right. Jeff, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. Anything else you want to add?
No, just thanks for having me and look forward to seeing people tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
You're listening to A Juneau Afternoon on Monday, January 11th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 17 minutes past the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Sonia Turner. She's the Family Caregiver Support and Senior Resource Specialist with Southeast Senior Services. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Hi, thank you.
And we're going to talk about Tai Chi classes for seniors. This sounds like fun.
It's a fall prevention class, so it's really good on teaching them balance and what's the best way to do it for them.
And I think I was reading somewhere that falls are a major problem for people who are elderly.
Absolutely, especially with balance.
Yeah. And this class is designed to help improve balance, like you say, and other things. Tell
strength.
Us more about it.
It's designed to help with balance, strength, certain positioning to help them so they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? Off balance, more or less. It's just a great conditioning. It's, you know, strength and power and peace of mind and help them, you know.
Sounds good. And what's the age, minimum age for this class?
Minimum age is 60.
Okay. And who will be teaching?
Jane Stokes is our new teacher that will be teaching this, and she has a lot of experience with seniors.
Okay. And where's it going to take place?
The Greening Park Recreation Center.
And we were just talking about where that is. How would you describe where that is?
I'm a little bit new to Juneau, but I would say if you're heading past from Costco's and you're heading down towards Walmart, it'd be your first turn after right, just before Walmart. And if you're heading up towards where DZ School is, they're at the top of the hill, and Greening Park is right at the right hand. There's the apartments, and if you're heading in over the speed bump, there's the office right there across from the mailboxes. It's right in there.
It's right there in the rec center.
Yep. Yeah.
And what days and what times?
Okay, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays for 8 weeks starting tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the first class, and it's from 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
Okay, and what's the cost for this?
It's free. As long as you're a senior, you're 60 and older, and as long as you're in generally good health, they are allowed to sit down at sporadic times during the class. But if you have any major ailment that would require your doctor, just for your safety and ours, to make sure everything was okay, then we can do a doctor's release with that. But otherwise, we pre-register usually before the class. But if you're a last-minute walk-in, we have the registration forms right there on site. And as long as everything looks good, it's just a couple papers, and you can start that day.
From what you know about Tai Chi, will you describe a little bit about what it looks like for some of our listeners?
Well, I haven't seen actually one of the classes being done. I've done a little bit of it myself in the past, but I would just say it's more strengthening the exercises that are just different forms. Most of the classes are usually held with a mirror. I'm not sure if there is one at this facility, but you can just usually see if it's, you know, you're raising your arm and you're raising your leg, just different strengthening, positioning, and muscle building.
Okay. If a person is listening right now and this sounds good to them and they want to sign up, you said this class does start tomorrow morning at 9:30. What is the best way for them to do that?
I would say I'm going to be checking my messages all night tonight just because we would like to have everybody pre-registered. And my phone number at the office is 907-463-6181. And please leave a message. So I will definitely be calling everybody back tonight. And if you haven't heard from me by 9:30 tomorrow morning or earlier, if you have to leave earlier, just go straight to the class. And she will let you know if you come in with a wheelchair and you're not able to really stand by yourself, chances are we'll probably need a doctor approval first. But otherwise, if you're ready and able, then you just basically go in and there's a sheet and a half to fill out and there's no other requirements, no social security card or anything of that course. It's just general statistics.
And how long is this class going to go again?
1 hour.
1 hour. And for how many weeks?
It's 8 weeks total. Yep. So there's 16 classes in whole. So it's every Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And would you hope that participants can go to both days of the week?
Absolutely. That is one of our biggest ones is we understand that some people might have some prior arrangements set up, but we really prefer if you're able to attend the whole class in its entirety.
All right. Sonia Turner here talking about Tai Chi classes for seniors Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Greening Park Recreation Center from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. for people 60 and over. If you have information, you can call her at 463-6181. Did I get that number right, Sonia?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about the class? Or?
if you really look it up online, if you're able to, I mean, it can give a more detail than I did. But absolutely, it's a really great class. We've heard nothing but great things. It's been proven through research how much Tai Chi is able to help with fall prevention, and I think that's a really wonderful thing. Plus, it gets seniors out of their house and into a group of your own age, and kind of gives the caregivers a little break as well. And, yeah, I think it's a really good program.
All right, Sonia, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 11th of January, 2016. 1569, on this date, Elizabeth I held the first state lottery in England. She needed to raise money to build some harbors and do other public works. People lined up at the west door of St. Paul's Cathedral in London to buy their tickets. Winner's name has been lost to us, but the prize was £5,000, which was huge at the time. The government learned a lesson from this, that the lottery, sometimes known as a voluntary tax, was a great way to bring in some extra revenue. Henry Fielding wrote in his play, The Lottery, "A lottery is a taxation upon all the fools in creation, and heaven be praised, it is easily raised, for credulity is always in fashion." It's the birthday of William James, the psychologist, philosopher, New York City, 1842, the older brother of Henry James. William thought he might be an artist, and then he went off to Harvard Medical School, and after a severe bout of depression, he took up the emerging science of psychology. Wrote a two-volume work, The Principles of Psychology, 1890. The psychologist Wilhelm Wundt said, "It is literature, it is beautiful, but it is not psychology." And William James then became a philosopher. The father of the movement known as pragmatism, saying, "The truth of an idea can never be proven. All you can do is focus on how useful it is." It's the birthday of the botanist William Curtis, born Alton, England, 1746. At a time when botanists were writing for other botanists, William Curtis wrote for the general public to teach Londoners how to grow plants from all over the world in their gardens. It's the birthday of the writer and ecologist Aldo Leopold, born Burlington, Iowa, 1887. Grew up in a big family on a big farm, 300 acres. Whole family spoke German together. They worked in the gardens and the orchards. He learned about plants and soils. He joined the Forest Service, wrote books about wildlife conservation, taught game management at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He wrote essays about nature, died of a heart attack at the age of 60, and his children put the book together, The Sand County Almanac, in 1949, a book that became a big bestseller in the 1970s, part of the ecology movement. Leopold wrote, "Harmony with land is like harmony with a friend. You cannot cherish his right hand and chop off his left." Here's a poem for today by Joseph Stroud entitled Knots. "Trying to tie my shoes, clumsy, not able to work out the logic of it, fumbling as my father stands there, his anger growing over a son who can't even do the simplest thing for the first time, can't even manage the knot to keep his shoes on. You think someone's going to tie your shoes for you the rest of your life?" "No," I answer, 45 years later, tying my shoe, hands trembling with this memory. "My father and all those years of childhood, not being able to work out how he loved me, a knot so tight it has taken all my life to untie." A poem by Joseph Stroud, Knots from Of This World, published by Copper Canyon Press, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by LegalZoom, providing legal help to Americans with online services, customer support, and independent legal advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 11th. It's about 27 minutes after the hour. Mudrooms is coming up this Wednesday at 7 p.m., and the theme will be Second Chances. In preparation for that, here's a highlight from December.
Phoebe Rohrbacher, known as a cigar-chomping, whiskey-drinking, poker-playing, pistol-packing, good-time gal. Phoebe Rohrbacher is 5'7", about 155 pounds, has brown hair and glasses. She will be relocating to Fairbanks in January, our last, and she will miss most of you. Look for her as the Miss Goldstream Valley. Here's Phoebe.
Okay, I'm going to start out by reading a letter to the editor from December 2007. I did not write this, but anyway, hit by a car, saved by physical fitness. Monday, December 10th, 2007. I recently celebrated my 90th birthday, but while I was out for a walk on November 17th, I was struck by an automobile on Evergreen Avenue near my home. Sound off on the important issues at. The driver experienced poor vision on the windshield and was distracted, attempting to eliminate the problem, when the vehicle struck me, knocking me off my feet into a guardrail, a heavy steel guardrail. The emergency room at Bartlett Regional Hospital spent 3 hours doing x-rays and multiple checks on my body, but found no broken bones. I have extensive lacerations on my legs, and I am recovering slowly. This accident was as close to death as I ever care to be. Therefore, I point to the urgent need for sidewalks. I believe this miracle is due to my excellent physical condition, and I'm probably the best walking advertisement for JRC / the Alaska Club. Sincerely, Dean Williams, Juno. Who here remembers Dean Williams? Yeah. So I guess my question you're probably all asking is, what kind of a monster would hit a 90-year-old man with their vehicle? Not only 90-year-old man, a 90-year-old local tennis legend and pioneer, Dean Williams. The answer is, you're looking at her. It was me. I'm a monster. Okay. So I guess my end of the story is... it's that I'm guilty. I did it. But I had just gotten my license at a ripe old age of 20 years old. And so I'd been driver for about 6 months, and I was 21 at this point. And I was house-sitting for my friend's parents. I had borrowed their car. I was going to go to North Douglas. And I never made it to North Douglas. So it was winter in November. I was driving down Evergreen Avenue, and the windshield was foggy, but it was one of those things where you think, like, oh, it's a little bit foggy, but it'll clear up. Bad idea. The moral of the story is always clean off your windshield. So I'm driving at a slow pace, and I realize, you know, it's actually very foggy. It's going to be really difficult for me to... continue this journey and dangerous. It's going to be dangerous, frankly. There's no sidewalks. I might hit someone. I should probably clean off my windshield. So I lean down And I'm trying to mess with the defrost buttons. And on your own car, you know exactly where that is. But remember, this is my friend's parents' minivan. So I don't know. I can't find it. I'm trying to press the buttons. I lean down for like 5 extra seconds, and that's when it happens. The unmistakable thud of a human body. On a car, it's terrible. And I'm smiling right now, but it was horrifying. And I slammed on the brakes. And I just looked up to heaven and I said, "What have I done?" And I jumped out of the car and I looked around and then there's nothing. And I was like, "That's a miracle." I was false alarm. I guess I didn't hit anything. And that's when this spry, very physically fit old man popped out from behind the car, and he's like, "I just turned 90 years old. Can you fetch me my cap?" And I was like, "Yes, I can." And his cap had flown over the guardrail. Luckily, I was like, "Oh, thank God it was just his cap and not him." So I ran down to get the hat, and then I brought it back to him. I said, "You know, we need to call the police. I think I need to go spend the rest of my life in jail." But I was like, "I don't have a cell phone. Do you have a cell phone? Probably not. You're 90. So anyway, not that 90-year-olds can't have cell phones. Neither of us had a cell phone, neither the young nor the old. And he's like, "You can come to my house, to use the phone." So I was like, "Do you want a ride?" And he was like, "No, thank you. I'll walk." So he walked himself back to his house. I'll speed this up. But he walked himself back to his house, and I followed close behind, and he was looking behind him, making sure I wasn't going to finish the job. So we get to his house, and he's just so nice. I mean, the whole time, I'm hysterical at this point. I almost killed a man. I just wanted to go to North Douglas, and this was not how I expected my night. And we get to his house, and we go in, and he says, Edna, there's someone I'd like you to meet. This is Phoebe. She just hit me with a vehicle." And Edna comes out, sweet as pie. "Oh, what a pleasure to meet you." I mean, it was almost like, I was like, these people are, I want them to be my grandparents. If they're so nice to this person who just ran them over, like, what would they be, how would they be to somebody who they actually know and love? So anyway, Edna starts making me a cup of tea. Like, they're both just like, "You know, this happens." And they give me some tea, they give me some cookies, and then Dean is like, "You know, why don't you just take some deep breaths? You know," he's like, "You know, this Edna and I, our names are palindromes. DEANEDNA. And I was like, "Oh, I'm so glad." And then he's like, "You know, this is the closest I've ever come to death. And I fought the Japanese. And I was a logger." So what I'm hearing here is that this is a man who survived the Japanese Imperial Army and an unregulated timber industry pre-OSHA. What they couldn't do, I almost did. So anyhow, as Kevin pointed out, it's really hard to repay this kind of kindness. They were there for me in my time of need. I decided I'll invite him to our family's Christmas party. Just to make up for it, I guess. "I'm sorry I ran you over. Do you want to have some cookies?" I don't know. So anyhow, he came over and he entered our house. He's looking around. It's decorated. And he's like, "Oh, what lovely Christmas decorations." And as he said it, he just tripped over our ottoman and tumbled onto our floor, probably hurting himself again. So at this point, I was thinking, you know, the kindest thing I can do is to distance myself and let him live out the rest of his days in peace, which he did. He lived another 5 long years, and in some ways, I think I might have given him a new lease on life. So, so I guess who's the kind one now? No, I'm just kidding. Truly, though, I want to, you know, Dean, if you're listening up there, thank you for the kindness you showed me, and I'm really sorry that I ran you over. So, thank you.
On September 1st, more Alaskans became eligible for Medicaid. If you were denied in the past, reapply. If you're between the ages of 19 and 64, single and make less than $21,000, or a married couple making less than $28,000, you might be eligible. You can apply online at healthcare.gov, on My Alaska with Aries, or with a paper application. The fastest way is on healthcare.gov. Free local assistance is available to everyone by calling Search Outreach at 966-8883.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 11th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour, and joining me in the studio now is Darren Snyder, and he is an agent with the UAF Cooperative Extension. He's here to tell us about the Master Gardeners class. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah. Okay. UAF Cooperative Extension, I think most of us know, but can you give us the short bio?
Yeah, sure. The University of Alaska Fairbanks is Alaska's land-grant university, and so the Cooperative Extension Service is based from that. And I work here in Juneau and serve throughout Southeast as your agent for helping with agriculture and horticulture, gardening needs, and as I'll mention, some 4-H programs, youth programs. And then I have a fellow agent who you folks in the community have heard from, Sarah Lewis, and she does what we call the health, home, and family development, kind of the home ec side of things, food preservation and such. But we are outreach into the community, so that's what the services that we bring to you folks.
That sounds like a fun job.
Oh, it's so much fun. Great.
Basically, you're here to help us make food for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Food and fun.
So you want to talk first about the Master Gardeners class?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of people look forward to the Master Gardener program. I offer it every other year, and it's coming up again here this spring. We have quite a list of folks who have already said, when is it going to happen? And it's coming up here in the beginning of February. February 9th will be our first class, but we are opening up registration now. And the Master Gardener class is 40 hours of instruction from myself, other university professors, and then also a whole slew of our local experts on any topic you can think of around gardening, planning your garden, where you're starting with your soils, your composting plans, the design of your garden, and whether you want to grow ornamentals or edible, tree crops, fruit crops, anything, whatever you want to do with your garden, you can become a better gardener by taking this Master Gardener course.
So it's called the Juno Master Gardener class. Is it for people who are already masters, or is it for people who want to become masters?
It's both. We do ask which somewhat qualify our participants in the Master Gardener program. We want you as a Master Gardener to have experience with the challenges that we face here in Juneau. You just look outside on any day, most of our days at least, it's a challenge to have things growing out here of our choice and how to do that. So most gardeners are okay with failure, because you have to be as a gardener, but we have a lot of strategies that can help you folks who have some experience with gardening and want to become a better gardener. That's what this class is for, is to train you, give you that advanced training, but then to turn around and to share that with the community and through community projects and educational programs and other service. So this really is a volunteer service training program, the Master Gardener program is designed.
Got it. And you do want people to have some experience gardening for
this
class.
Yeah, okay. And that's why I offer it every other year, is because So in 2017, I'll offer a beginner gardener class. And so we, and that's where I try and, you know, offer, if somebody doesn't have experience or if they just want to learn how to garden better, then that's a good class to take, is that beginner gardener class.
Okay. In a minute, I want to talk to you about some gardening tips, what we should be thinking about right now. But you also have some 4-H stuff going on, right?
I do. I would like to just a little bit on the Master Gardener class,
a little bit more,
if I may. It does cost, it's a $300 fee, which, is kind of mandatory for us here, statewide. There was an effort to standardize the fees, and that's expensive. And, if that's too expensive for you, there are scholarship opportunities available. But $300, $150 comes back to the gardeners through a refund when those 40 hours of volunteer service are completed. So I just wanted to share that with you folks.
All right. 4-H?
Yeah, there's a lot going on with 4-H in our youth programs. Right now, our cross-country skiing programs are well started, and so I won't talk too much about that, but if you do have a burning interest in having your youth participate in cross-country skiing, contact our office. I'll give you that number in just a second. But we also have some other exciting winter-based opportunities, and one of them is called luge sledding. So if you think of the Olympic sport of luging, where they're going down a bobsled track and ripping down at 80 miles per hour or whatever they're doing, it's not quite that. We don't have a an Olympic luge run in Juneau yet, but we do have the opportunity to have these steerable luge sleds, which are a hoot. I was just doing them last Saturday, and they are fun to slalom down the groomed runs down, and it's kind of a rip-roaring fun.
You do that up at Eagle Crest?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So we've been doing that after they close on the Porcupine Run, and we're just going to see where this club goes. We form 4-H clubs, and this is a luge sledding club. So anybody out there, adults included, for youth, generally about 10 years old and on up are able to steer these things. So we suggest that kids are 10 years old or older. And right now, again, we are doing it on Saturday afternoons. That's when we can get on those slopes. But we're going to be doing it other times, too. So if you have any interest in trying this new sport out, it's fun.
If somebody does want to sign up or learn more, where should they go, Darren?
Call 523-3280, 523-3280. That's our extension office number for any of the Master Gardener classes, any other gardening classes, 4-H programs. We also have a couple other programs. Excuse me. One of them is sailing, large boat sailing, which we do land-based trainings right now. And then when it gets to be better sailing weather, then sailors get out there. And we have room for some more teens for that. We have about three or four more slots available. And these are big, beautiful sailboats that the skippers are hosting our clubs to be become sailors, young people to become sailors. So we are right. Also looking for volunteers to, if you're a sailor yourself as an adult and you want to work with youth and share some of your love and interest in sailing, you can join us as well. And one last thing for 4-H is a teen adventure club. And so we have teens who want to get out into the wilds of the outdoor Alaskan environment and do anything from building shelters and sleeping in them overnight and learning how to do survival skills and building fires out in the weather and just hiking around, learning how to orienteer and everything else. So, and it's boys and girls. That's one of the nice things about 4-H is we have all ages of youth and both genders working together on these things.
Sounds good. Give us the details of the Master Gardener class one more time, if you will.
So it starts on February 9th, and it runs on Tuesday evenings. So hopefully you have a Tuesday evening available on through May 3rd. So it's most of February, March, April, and into May on Tuesday evenings and a couple Saturdays along the way, too, to meet those 40 hours of training.
And again, to find out more about Master Gardener or these great 4-H opportunities, 523-3280.
That's it.
Excellent. So before I wanted to get some gardening tips, Darren, if I may, what should folks be thinking about right now?
Well, this is the perfect season to be, if you are a gardener, to look at what you gardened last year, see what worked for you, and to be ordering your seeds and going, well, if I want to be growing this, then you can order at various online outlets, and you want to be kind of thinking also about what you did last year. Now is a good time to reflect on, again, how things went, and what you might want to change about your coming year, and make some plans, and also to maybe design your new garden, because it's a good idea just generally to rotate your vegetables. If you've grown a certain type of vegetable, like a root crop in one area, then you might want to grow a leafy vegetable in the next in that spot, and that's the way you kind of can keep your nutrient levels good and your pest levels down.
For Never Nevers, what would be the top three seeds to be getting right now?
Never Nevers, I'm sorry. I don't know that term.
Never 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 Gardener.
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. So the starting, so seed potatoes. If you've never done this before, you want to get some seed potatoes. There are various outlets in town, and you want to get Alaskan certified seed. You do not plant something out of the store. It will bring potentially disease to your plot, and as well, there are good chance there are varieties that won't do well up here. So you want to get Alaskan certified seed potatoes, and so potatoes work really well in our environment, and peas are also an excellent crop for us, both edible pod peas and shelling peas. Carrots are an excellent choice. Kale does really well here, delicious and excellent. So many different varieties on all of these different vegetables. And so those are a good start. And if you want help just doing your basic garden, and you're not aiming high to be a master gardener, just give us a call anyways. We have so much information. Please visit us at our downtown office. We are there in the public safety building on Whittier Street, a stone's throw away from KTOO.
And before you mentioned rhubarb, and it just makes you feel good, right? It grows well, and you can put it in some pies later. Or
absolutely, right? I love it. I don't know. I don't understand people don't love it, but it's so good. And but that just, and you had asked me as a never-never kind of a first-time gardener, just make sure that you have in your mind the understanding that we need raised beds in this environment. You can't grow things really straight in the ground. Probably because there's no dirt and soil there in the first place, but also because it's just cold and wet down there. So you want to create mounds. That's why you see everybody have their raised beds, is because it lets that soil dry out a little bit, lets it heat up a little bit, and it makes all the difference for your rhubarb and everything else.
All right. Lots of resources at the UAF Cooperative Extension here in Juneau. Darren, give us the phone number once again.
It's 523-3280.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. Oh, except for we just heard a little bit of Scott and I on that piece by Phoebe a moment ago, and that was awesome. Caught the tail end of that. And I want to give a shout-out to her family, the Rohrbachers. Her parents, Charles and Paula, are the benefactors to have donated their land for use by the Douglas Community Garden. So there are 40-plus gardeners who are just by the graces of the Rohrbachers there in downtown Douglas gardening. So they're a wonderful family, and I just want to give a shout-out to those good people.
Okay, thanks, Darren.
Yep.
This is Bird Note. If you were to stand face-to-face with an owl, after a while it would start to move its head, bobbing rhythmically from side to side, then forward, then back, or almost completely upside down, all while still looking at you with its body still facing the front. Is the owl trying to communicate something? Is this perhaps some kind of dance? All these varied head movements help the owl judge the position and distance of things around it, essentially to triangulate on objects, including potential prey. And to build a composite picture of its surroundings. This head bobbing helps make up for an anatomical limitation. An owl's eyes, are fixed in position. They simply can't move the way our eyes do. So to look up, down, or to the side, an owl has to move its head. They have very flexible necks and can do 3/4 of a full head turn, looking over one shoulder, around the back, and almost over the opposite shoulder. And after a few of these head bobs to triangulate on their prey, they rarely miss. It's not only owls that measure the world this way. Most other birds of prey, like falcons and hawks, have the same intent, fixed predator's eyes. And so they, too, perform their share of head bobs, figuring out what's what and what's where. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support for this station comes from the Treadwell Ice Arena, located at 105 Savico Road in Douglas. Treadwell Ice Arena is open 7 days a week, offering drop-in open skating, hockey, and a variety of special events. We are the proud home of the Crimson Bears hockey team, youth, adult, hockey, and figure skating programs. More information at juno.org/parksrec/icerink or call 586-0410.
And here is a little David Bowie for you.
Thank you. Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m. and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with Kate Pressing and Sally Hand about computer classes at the Learning Center. And Brenda Wright from the Audubon Society will be here to highlight this week's presentation about birds in Costa Rica. We'll talk with Alexander Brown about Thursday's Dress Up Your Pet Day fundraiser for the Gastineau Humane Society. And we'll get a preview of Wednesday's Mudrooms presentation. Those interviews, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more live at 3 on KTOO News, repeated at 4 on KRNN, and online via KTOO.org. Take a look at the weather here. The forecast calls for rain tonight with lows around 36. Southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, diminishing late. On Tuesday, rain showers likely, highs around 38 with southeast wind 15 miles per hour, shifting to the north in the afternoon. On Wednesday, the forecast calls for cloudy conditions, chance of rain showers and snow showers with highs around 36. And Thursday, cloudy, chance of rain, showers, and snow showers, highs around 33. And Friday, mostly cloudy, highs around 31. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same frequency.